Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. While Dave's putting our scriptures in back there, I studied right up late today and didn't give him time to do anything because we got back yesterday afternoon. I will tell you, before we take a couple of testimonies here, I'll give you a little bit of a testimony about our trip. You know, we went out to Silver City, New Mexico. I'd never been there, but I didn't know how far it was out there until, you know, I looked it up on the maps and so forth, and it says it's only almost 800 miles out there on ground. You know, so for driving, you know, your little map stuff on your computer, it says it only takes 14 hours and 5 minutes to drive out there. You know, so I thought, wow, that's a long ways, 14 hours. And so I thought, well, I'll look at it on the aviation charts, and it was only 636 miles, you know, as the crow flies. Of course, you can't go by the way the crow flies because you have to go around some of those missile ranges out there, you know, between here and there. We definitely didn't want to fly through those. So we did go from here to Andrews. We took off, and Dave and Deation, their kids went with us, and Cheryl and I went. And it was so wonderful, you know, to be able to have that beautiful 421 and pressurized airplane and fly up there as high as you want to and get where the winds and all the wonderful computers we got and everything. That's so beautiful. And how inexpensive that stuff is today compared to what it used to be. And we had a beautiful trip going out. I mean, we went out there. We flew all the way down to El Paso around the missile ranges and then up there and flew over those mountains. And as we were leaving Andrews, we're out here, we're getting close to New Mexico, and Dave looks up there and he says, "What is that in front of us?" I said, "Those are mountains." He said, "Them things are higher than we are." I said, no, it just looks like that. I said, "They're really not." But they did look like it, you know, and of course, the closer we got, the taller they looked like they were. But we went over them by a couple of thousand feet, you know, although we were way up there. But still, they were extremely tall. And then we flew in, and I've got a beautiful little computer about this big. It sets up right in front of me that I can see, and it tells me, you know, it changes colors in places where the terrain gets higher. And then if it does get dangerous down under 5 foot, it has a little thing pop up in the middle that says danger, high terrain approaching. You know, so it's really wonderful what those things do and how we flew in out there. And then, you know, how Dave can just, he's such a great navigator. You know, he can just bring me right around and bring me up and lands me right on the end of the runway. You know, he's telling me, you know, you're either a quarter dot above the glide slope, or you're right on the glide slope, or you're a quarter dot right of the center line or left of center line. And then you're right on center line, right on glide slope. And, of course, right, sure enough, there's the airport right in front of you, you know, and you land right on the end of it. And it's wonderful to have that. Now, going out, of course, the winds are always blowing this way, almost always. And they were. But they wasn't too strong, so it took us just a little under 4 hours. Instead of 14 hours driving, it took us just a little under 4 hours, about 3:45, going out there. But when we took off coming back, we had an extremely nice tailwind component, and most of the time we were doing about 240 miles an hour at 13,000 feet, and it only took about 3 hours and 10 or 15 minutes to come back. So, you know, we left at 11 and got home at 4 after a stop at Andrews to fuel and go to the bathroom and all that stuff. And a beautiful flight all the way back in here. And as we got on the ground here, Yesha, she was sitting right behind me. I turned around and I said, "How do you enjoy your trip?" She said, "You know, this could really spoil a girl to traveling." I thought, okay, Dave, you're going to buy you an airplane someday. Take your family where you go. But it is really something to think that you can leave out there at 11 in the morning, our time, and at, you know, 3 o'clock, you can be home. Isn't that something? And yet if you were driving, it's 14 hours. So, and it was a beautiful, beautiful flight. You know, we began to run into a few clouds when we got here, but most of the trip was beautiful. I mean, we could see the mountains and everything. It was just a great trip. You know, we just had all kinds of fun. But anyway, I understand that somebody else has got a testimony they want to give. I don't know. Okay. You had one you want to give? Okay, come up here. I'll turn the mic on, and Deborah's got one she wants to tell us something about here. Praise the King.
Well, these are not my testimonies, but they're testimonies that other members of the church have asked me to bring to the church floor. And one of our members that is in Rockwall, she's in Sachse, she hasn't had a car to try to get a job or anything. So she'd been praying, and she had prayed very specifically. She wanted a white, like Corolla, a 2007. She wanted a sunroof. She wanted automatic locks. She didn't want leather. She wanted it white. She wanted gray interior. And she's telling me all this, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'd be real happy just to get a car. And so she called me and left a message on my recorder yesterday that the Lord had delivered her exactly that car.
Wow. Praise
and it was
King.
On its way up here next week. Her brother had found it for her in Houston. Of course, she didn't even tell him what she had prayed for. She had just told him that she was needing a car, and he said, well, I'll look for you one. And when he called, he said, well, there's only one thing, you know, that it doesn't have. It's fully loaded. It's got the sunroof. It's got the door locks. It's got everything, but it doesn't have leather. And she says, oh, praise God, because I didn't like leather. That was what I asked for. It was not leather. So she wanted me to tell the church that the Lord is really very specific. You asked for it. And Thurman had told us a story not too many years ago about a missionary who was working in either the Philippines or Africa or someplace who'd wanted a bicycle.
Yeah.
And it hadn't shown up. And he's going, Lord, what's the deal? You know, you tell me to ask, and it doesn't show up. So the Lord says, it literally spoke to him and said, what color do you want? And he says, blue or red or whatever. And was it within an hour or two, the truck pulls up with a bicycle in that color?
Yeah. I mean, it was everything. He told him he wanted a basket on it, a horn on it. You know, I told him everything. He said, He said, Lord, why don't I have this bicycle? He said, you didn't tell me what kind of bicycle. You were not very specific, and I'm a very specific God. He said, so you tell me. So he said he turned in his order, and the next day there it was.
And the member took that to heart, so she was very specific, and she wanted y'all to know that she got exactly what she wanted.
Praise the King. Glory.
Now, the other thing is I do have a tremendous opportunity through the church to talk to people all over the nation who are wanting to move here. And Lisa and her family, they moved here. I'm currently in connection with a lady in Henderson, Nevada, who wants to move here. But through the teachings and the tape, she listens constantly. And the other night, I was not only on the phone with her, but another girl out in Los Angeles and these are people from Muslim backgrounds who are now Christians.
Wow, praise
and,
the Lord.
I mean, you just never know where these tapes are going to go and whose lives it's going to touch.
Amen.
So that's what I wanted everybody to know, too.
Praise the King. Glory, glory. Precious, did you have one? Precious, she said she had a testimony today. I want her to give us her testimony. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Last Saturday, I went to a tour at UNT with me and my friends, and we were sitting in the auditorium. And during lunchtime, I lost my phone. And so me and my friend went back, and it wasn't there because the doors were locked. So during that time, I asked God if I committed any sins to show me, and he did. So I repented. And on last Sunday, I was sitting in church, and the Holy Spirit gave me a vision that when I took off my jacket, it fell under the seat. And so that Wednesday, me and my mom and Mike drove up to UNT, and I was thinking it wasn't there because they have classes and someone must have found it, but I took that out of my mind, and when we got there, it was still under the seat.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is so good, isn't he, Terry?
Amen.
Praise the King. Wow, we got some good testimonies here. Praise the King.
That's awesome. Well, I have the privilege of working the phones up here, and so I want to share a couple of testimonies. One is this week the woman asked me to actually share this testimony. I have been talking to her for about 3 or 4 weeks now and going through the scriptures on submitting to your husband and forgiving, which is kind of my life message.
Amen.
And so anyway, I shared that with her, and so she did have some bitterness and unforgiveness towards her husband, and she was really judging him. And they're like $3 million in debt. And so she was just really having a hard time. They have like a $7 million home that she wants, you know, to see her husband sell the house, but he's refusing to do that. So anyway, she did decide to forgive him and stop judging him. And I told her to go and listen to Frank and I's testimony because she had not heard it yet. And so she called me back the next week and said, oh, my goodness, You know, I just did not realize, you know, what I was doing. And so she began to submit to him and just pray. And she had told me, she said, pray because my in-laws are coming, and it's never good, you know, when they come. It's always a bad situation. So anyway, the in-laws came, and so she called me back this week and said the in-laws came. And she said, I could tell you in 18 years of marriage how many gifts that my in-laws have given me. And she said, they're just not, you know, they don't give to her or her husband or whatever. So anyway, she said they were there, and the last night that they were there, they went off into the study, and her and her husband were spent like 2 hours in there with his parents just talking. And when they came out, he went into the bedroom with her and told her that his parents were going to give them a check for $97,000 to pay off their credit card debt. So, and she just attributed that to, you know, coming to that place of trust in the Lord. And if I could just piggyback off of what Dave said, you know, when you come to that place of trusting, and as a woman, we need to trust the Lord to work through our husband rather than trying to get our way by demanding it. And so there was another woman that I had been ministering to for several weeks, and she was really struggling with submitting to her husband. She didn't even know that she wasn't submitting to her husband. And as I began to share with her, one of the things I shared with her, well, she told me at the end of the conversation, after several, probably an hour and a half on the phone, she said, I'm going to send you guys a check in a couple of weeks. And she said, but I have to do it behind my husband's back because he doesn't know that I tied to the church. So I'm thinking, did she hear anything I just said in the last hour and a half, you know? And so anyway, I said, please don't send us that check because it'll be cursed. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can't give us your money behind your husband's back. That's not submitting to your husband. She said, but the Bible says I'm supposed to tithe. And I said, well, you're supposed to tithe, but, you know, you're supposed to submit to your husband. So as the headship of the home, if he doesn't tithe, that falls back on him. That's not her responsibility to go do it behind his back.
Amen.
And so I said, you need to put that under the headship of your husband. She said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know. So she went to her husband. Now, he's not a saved man, and he doesn't care for the church or didn't care for the church and didn't want any of his money going to the church and had made that very clear to her. But she felt like she needed to repent for all these years of tithing behind his back, so she was a little afraid. So she went to him and told him, you know, the Bible says that I'm supposed to submit to you, and I haven't been doing that, and I want to repent of that, and I'm going to start submitting to you. And she said, and then the other thing is, I have been tithing behind your back all these years, and I want to repent to you for that. And she said, and, you know, the Bible says that that is between you and the Lord, and that you as the head of the household, if you choose not to tithe, that's between you and God, and I'm not to go and do it behind your back, so I just want to repent to you. And she said, I will not give any more money to the church unless you say that I can. And he said, well, go ahead and keep tithing. And then, if that's not enough, a couple of weeks ago, Thurman led this man to the Lord. And so he, about 6 weeks into this, just talking to her every week, she told me the week before you guys went to Minnesota, she said, I said to my husband the other day, she said, you know, you've got some ailments too. Maybe you should go with me when I go to Thurman's. And he said, oh, I'm planning on it. So I just want to encourage the women again today that if you will submit to your husband, as the Lord said, and whether he's saved or whether he's unsaved, what 1 Peter says, if he is not obeying the word, he can be won over by your submissive and just right. So, wow, so I just want to encourage you women to trust the Lord.
Amen.
Trust
Amen.
The Lord, as it says in verse 5. It says, for the women of old who trusted God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the King. Great testimony. Glory, glory. Oh, me. I might say, too, right quick, that another, just a little final quick one, but there was a family of four. Drove all the way from Phoenix to Silver City, which that's about a six-hour drive. And when they got there, the lady came up and hugged me and everything and said, I praise God for your ministry. As she said, I had breast cancer, and I called your ministry center, and I talked to Sharon. She said, now, Sharon led me through that I had unforgiveness toward another female. And she said, it was my mother. And she said, and Sharon told me, well, if since it's a family member, the breast cancer will be on the left side. And she said, it is. This is my left breast. So she said, Sharon led me through a prayer of repentance. I repented, and Sharon prayed for me. And she said, I stand for in front of you today to let you know I'm completely healed of breast cancer. So obviously the God Sharon serves the same one the rest of us serve around here. Huh? Praise the King, right, Sharon? We've seen these girls do so many wonderful things in the name of our Lord and Savior.
What? A girl with diabetes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and we had a girl there that night also we prayed for that was healed of diabetes. But we had several wonderful things happen out there. I just think how precious and how wonderful it is to serve a God that answers prayer.
Amen.
Isn't he awesome? I love him. I love serving him. I praise him. I worship him. And a while ago, nobody knows but me and God, when we were singing those songs a while ago, it was like he was standing right there, and I was so intimate with him during the worship service today. It's just like I was in another place. I thought, wow, God, you're so awesome. I just praise him and worship him and thank him. And I think what a privilege it is to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. And, of course, one other little thing. This is not a testimony of mine, but somebody sent me an email this last week. And while I was out there, I looked at it. But it didn't have any voice out there at the computer at the hotel. But I saved it in another directory for myself. And when I got back, I listened to it last night. And what this was, there was, when we designed and built the X-15 fighter, it was a very powerful warhorse. And it was so powerful, there were so few people. In fact, a long time, the United States wouldn't let anybody else buy this machine because it was such a deadly machine. And finally, the first ones they sold it to were Israel. Israel was the first ones to be able to purchase the X-15. Well, in this little story, there was a couple of Israeli pilots on a training mission flying their X-15s. And, of course, they have cameras inside the airplanes, you know, where you can see what the missiles do and all kinds of stuff. And so they had taken off together, and they were out there flying, and they were doing some missile runs and maneuvers. And one of them had fired a missile at something, and the other guy was flying upside down. You know, and one was flying upside down, and so he thought this guy would roll out and go this way, and instead he pulled up like this, and as he's flying across, and he didn't see him, and they ran together up there to those supersonic speeds and everything else, and this one guy that hit his airplane, I mean, it's awesome to think, here he is in an airplane flying hundreds of miles an hour, and all of a sudden it's just going, just like that. I mean, just around and around in a circle, just going round and around. And, of course, these guys fly like this, so they're kind of used to this, I guess. So he said he knew he'd been hit, or he didn't know what happened. He just knew something devastation happened to the airplane. So, and since he couldn't control it, he just pushed something, just kind of like told him, push the throttle forward. And so he did, pushed it into full burner, and it becomes a rocket, you know, and it just went extreme breakneck speeds, and all of a sudden it started getting slower and slower and slower until he could hold it right side up again. And so he could control it, so he called a wingman and asked him to fly along beside him to see what happened. Well, one of the other guys came and flew up beside him, and he said there was such a stream of fuel vapors coming out of the right side that he couldn't see. He said, all I can see on the right side is a big, huge cloud of just vapors coming out of your right wing. And he said, well, okay, we'll take it back and land. So he brought it to the closest airport there. It was a long military airport. And he brought it in, said it, when he got below 250 knots, normally you come in at about 130, and he said he couldn't handle it, so he kept it up at 250, 260, and he touched down at 250 knots. And when he did, and he said, we got stopped just about 30 feet before the end of the runway, at the far end. We like to hit the barricade. But he said, we got stopped 30 feet before we hit it. He said, when I did, I opened the cockpit, and I stood up, turned around, and shake my a navigator, radar man's hand. So I looked out, the right wing is completely gone off of this airplane. Completely gone. Now, let me tell you, I know a little bit about airplanes, and airplanes don't fly with one wing missing. They don't fly. I don't care whose it is, what it is, it don't fly. This was a supernatural thing of God. God brought that Israeli pilot back in, both those men, unharmed, and set them down on the ground, and neither one of them got hurt. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever saw a hand of God do something, the king had sent an angel, no two ways about it, to stabilize that airplane. Because I'm going to tell you, you can take it from me that an airplane does not fly with one wing missing. They just don't fly. And any of you that know anything about airplanes know this is a supernatural thing from God. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad we serve that supernatural God. Aren't you, Tom? I'm glad he's my God. I'm glad he's your God. I'm glad he is there, and I'm glad he loves us as much as he does them Israeli pilots. And I know he's wanting to watch over us and protect us. And today we're going to talk about I'm going to talk about rewards and being an overcomer. Oh, Joseph, you said?
I'd just like to mention to the congregation.
So they can all hear, Joseph.
I just want to mention to the congregation, I was the one that sent him that email. If anyone would like to see this on that video while we're in church here today, if you write down your email address and give it to me before I leave, and I'm going to leave right away after the service is over because I got someplace else to go. But if you give it to me before I leave, I'll send you a copy of that video so you can see it for yourself.
Yeah, it's awesome. Praise the Lord. It is absolutely awesome to think that how wonderful God is and how he does all these wonderful things. But I mean, when we see God do things like that, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. But he is God, and he's in control. And I know there's lots of things like that. The Lord has protected me in a lot of different things and a lot of times. And I can remember the many times when my faith wasn't near what it is today. But I can remember when I used to, years and years ago, 40 years ago, when I was had a little light airplane, little single-engine airplane. And of course, without all the instrumentation that I needed, that I have today, everything I need. And, of course, back in those days, I was an instrument-rated pilot, but I didn't have all the sophisticated equipment that I needed. I can think of times when I would leave the farm down in the valley, and I would be coming up to one of the places up where I needed to stop for fuel. And, of course, I'm flying up in complete cloud overcast, you know. And of course, I couldn't get down through that. And so not legally, I couldn't. And I didn't want to do things illegally. So, you know, I had learned to pray. And I remember one time I said, Lord, I've been flying for 30 minutes and I have not seen the ground anywhere, solid overcast. I said, I do not have enough fuel to go all the way back to Goldthwaite. So I had to flew all the way down there. And, of course, down on the farm, I couldn't get no fuel down there. They didn't have fuel. So I had to come back to this one town about an hour on the way back. I said, now, Lord, I need you to open the cloud for me or something so I can get through. And I began to get, my VOR was telling me I'll be getting closer and closer to this airport. And all of a sudden, I looked up in front of me, and there was about a two-mile circle. There was not a single cloud, and it was just as clear as it could be. I just circled right down through that thing and went down and landed, filled my airplane with fuel, took off, and went right back up through that same hole, which was still there, got right back on top. And when I got to Goldthwaite, it was clear in Goldthwaite. So I'm telling you, God can do awesome things for you.
Amen.
And awesome things, and he is just a wonderful, mighty God. And you know, all you got to do is serve him. All you got to do is love him and worship him and praise him, and he does great and wonderful things. Now, today, we're going to talk about rewards, and I'm going to go to Genesis 15:1. I've got lots of scriptures, and we're going to see how far we get on this today. And Genesis 15:1, it starts that saying, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. Now, he's your great reward, too.
Amen.
He is your great reward. Just like Dave told you a while ago, when I preached on Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 out there, when I talked about deliverance, it got through to him. It's the first time it ever clicked that God was your deliverer. And so it's really something when you get a hold of these things. And the more time you spend with God, the more he will reveal these things to you. Then Deuteronomy 27, 25. We go to Deuteronomy 27:25, and it says, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say amen. In other words, just think, you can take a reward and get cursed for it. In other words, what you're doing is taking money. He said, cursed be he that taketh a reward or money to slay an innocent person. So if you take money to do something that's illegal, God's going to curse you. You know, and there's so many people do not understand these things. I mean, in the business world that I was in, I mean, I saw many times people, you know, when I was serving as an engineer building buildings and stuff and all kinds of stuff all over this country, people want to give you under the table things, you know, so that, you know, they give you a few $100s or a few $1,000s so they can make tens of thousands of dollars off of your company. Hey, I work for my company. You know, I didn't work for them. And I knew these scriptures. I was not about to take any kind of a payment or a reward, as they would call it, because if I did for doing something that was going to cost my company, then I'm going to be cursed of God, and I'm going to pay the consequences. Now, he's no respecter of persons, no respecter. So you've got to serve him or not serve him. And if you serve him, he's going to bless you. If you don't, he's going to curse you. Okay, Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel 3:39. And I am this day weak, through anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zerubbabel, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Now then, how would you like to be a wicked person and get a reward from God? What do you think that reward would be like? Do you think it would be a good one or a bad one? Ooh, I think so. In other words, he can give you all kinds of rewards. And usually when people say, I'm going to give you a reward, well, most people think they're going to get something good, right? Well, God can give you a good reward or he can give you a bad one, because he says here, the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Now, what if you just got a little bit of wickedness? It might not be too bad. You might not get but one or two licks. But what if you're a little bit worse? You might get three or four. What if you're a whole lot more wicked? It might cost you your life. You know that? God is God. And I don't care. Don't let anybody try to make you think that God is an old fuddy-duddy up there in heaven that's sitting back saying, oh, what am I going to do with all these disobedient kids? I mean, he's in control. He knows what he's going to do. And if he wasn't merciful, there wouldn't be nobody in this room today. Every one of us would be gone. We all know we've sinned far too many times and come short of the glory of God. If he wasn't a merciful God, I mean, he'd have taken me out as a teenager. It wouldn't have been no question. I can look back at my teenage years and knew I should have been taken out for some of the things I did, but yet I was a pretty good kid as far as everybody else thought. I didn't do near what some of the rest of them did, but when I look at what they did and what I did, and I think God's really merciful, because there's some of them I thought, man, if I was God, I'd take him out. He's been a really bad boy. You know, so, but praise God, God's God, and I'm not. Okay, let's go to the next one, Dave. 2 Samuel 22:21. The Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands has he recompensed me. Now then, if the Lord's going to reward me according to my righteousness and cleanliness of my hands, do you want your hands to be clean? I mean, I want them babies to be spotless. I don't want them to look like when I'm out here working on a car. You know, I want them to be clean. You know, I think about some of the trials and tests we go through. In fact, Wednesday morning, after Tuesday night Bible study, Wednesday morning, I got up real early because I had a right strut on the 421. It was a little bit low. And I knew we were going to be carrying full load of fuel and passengers. We were going to be grossing right at 7,000. And so I wanted the airplane to be setting up like it's supposed to. And so I ran out to the airport at early. I thought, well, it'll take me 15 minutes to air up that strut. So I go running out to the airport, and the hangar, I had just, the bottle belonged to another man. The nitrogen bottle belonged to another man and the hose. But I had fixed it last time I was out there. It was low, and I had taken it to the refilling station and had the bottle filled, paid for it and everything. And took all that and took it all out there and put it in his hangar. And then I hadn't used it, hadn't needed it. Months have gone by. And so he told me, anytime you need it, there it is. Well, he gave me a combination on his hangar and everything. So I went up and opened the door, and ain't nothing in the hangar. Totally clean. Not a thing. And so I went to find him. And, of course, that takes time. When I found him, he said, oh, I put it down here in this other big hangar way down here. He said, let me go down there with you to get it. I started to say, I really don't have time, but I thought, okay. So we went down there and got it and got back. And when I went to put it in there, somebody had ruined the seal in the thing and it wouldn't hold nitrogen. And so I'm in under the airplane. I started to wear my good clothes out there to air that up, but I'm glad I didn't, because I'm glad I wore an old dirty pair of blue jeans. Because after I got, finally, I chased around all over the place trying to find new seals and everything else. Finally, found another, got new seals, got it, and got it all where I could put it on there, and then turned the bottle on, and it didn't have enough pressure in it to raise my airplane. And you know how we are. I unhooked everything. I said, okay, Lord, I got to take the bottle back. I said, Lord, what else could go wrong this morning? You know, I said, Lord, thank you. I ain't grumbling. I said, Lord, I'm borderlining on grumbling, but I ain't going to grumble. You know, I said, Lord, what else could go wrong? I get in my car, hit the starter, and it won't start, and it's a brand new battery I just got. I couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, I thought, Lord, here I'm in a hurry trying to get off. I need to be airborne by 10 o'clock, and it's already 11:30, and I'm still sitting out there. Now, this is kind of difficult, but I said, walked down the street, found another guy down there, and I said, you got jumper cables? I said, I got jumper cables. Can you jump me off? He said, sure. So he came up there, and we got my car jumped off. And we were going to be gone by 10 that morning, but it was 12:30 when I got back here, and I never did get the strut aired up on the airplane. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to praise you and thank you. You know, it's not completely flat. I only had about 2 inches left on it. I knew I was going to be carrying a full load of fuel. I said, Lord, on this trip, you'll just have to give me the ability to always land on the left main first and then gently let the right one down. And Cheryl noticed that when I got back. She said, I noticed you're landing on the left one first and then gently lowering the right one down. She said, what for? And I told her, I said, well, because that one is not as haired up as much as the other one. But see, God will give you the ability and the knowledge of how to do it a different way. Is that right? Of course he will. But, you know, if I'd have grumbled and complained about that, you know, he put me to the test that day. You know, that's just the way he does it, doesn't he? I know none of y'all ever have to encounter any trials and tests like that. But he's a rewarder. The Lord rewards me according to my righteousness. Now, should we strive to be righteous in the sight of the King? Absolutely, and have clean hands. Okay, Dave, 2 Chronicles 15:7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, sometimes when you're going through life and everything seems like it's going wrong, if you don't know these things here where he said, I shall reward you. I mean, you know what we want? We want to work hard for a day and then we want our pay, don't we? We don't want to work for a month and then get paid. You know, we want to get it right now, right, Terry? I mean, that's the way we are as human beings, right? But see, God didn't promise you that he would give you everything right now. But he did promise you, be strong and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And so I know we're all going to get a reward. You know, we're going to serve him. And according to what we do with the gifts he's given us, he's going to reward us accordingly. Okay, Psalm 15:5. And this one, let's go to Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. I want you to see this. This is an awesome scripture. Every time I read this, I think, wow. Most people don't believe this. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Well, do you want to dwell there?
Yes.
Boy, I do. Well, he asks, who's going to do it? Then he says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, these are the requirements if you want to get these rewards. To get God's reward, he has set a set of standards. And guess what? He does not bend his rules for nobody. Does he, Brian? Now, we both know that, don't we? He does not bend his rules for no one. But, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Verse 3 and 4. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. You have to be very careful what you say if you want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. You can't do no evil to your neighbor. Nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that feareth the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. And in verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to interest. You mean you can't charge interest on your money? You can, but if you do it, you ain't going to dwell in that secret place with God. Now, if you're loaning your brother money, God says you cannot loan your brother money and charge him interest. He's talking about your brother, your Christian brother. You can't charge your Christian brother. If you let him have money, you got to let it have him. Let him borrow it without interest. In fact, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to loan one of your brothers or sisters money, don't ever let them have it unless you know you can afford to lose it.
That's right.
Just don't even, if you can't afford to lose it, don't do it for them. You know, now, I mean, as we have read places, it says, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, that's why we are doing this. I didn't have any idea when God told me to name this ministry the Living Savior Ministries. I had no idea what he was talking about doing. Ministries. But the newest phase of the Living Savior Ministries is the portion of working on automobiles. You know, Dave and I worked on so many people's cars before, and we had so many people. I don't care if it was an evangelist that needed his car fixed or some little widow that her car got to where it wouldn't work, and she couldn't get nobody to fix it because she didn't have no money right then. And so the Lord just told me, he said, start a ministry. Fix these people's cars. And so that's what we've done. He brought a man from Baltimore down here. He delivered him from headaches, which he'd had all of his life. Brought him here, got him delivered over the telephone. His wife come out here and asked me to pray for him because she come down here and God blessed her socks off and give her a really great little minister herself down here. And then she kept saying, Pastor, what I need to do with my husband? I said, you need to have him come down here. You're married to this guy. She said, but I don't like him no more. I don't like him no more. You know, he made me my husband. I don't like him no more. I said, we need to get him set free from his problems. I said, you and him need to be back together. You're married together. I said, bring him down here. Tell him to come down here. Tell him you'll love him. And I said, bring him to me and we'll get him set free and God will do something great. Well, she finally got him to come down here and he come down here. And sure enough, when he got here, she called me on Sunday and said, Pastor, my husband got here on Thursday. He's been in bed ever since he got here. He's sick. He's afflicted. He's got headaches. He's taking 10, 20 BCs a day, and he couldn't get up today. And so what am I going to do? I said, I'm going to kick them devils out of him from right now, from long distance. And I prayed over the phone. I said, now, I prayed. I've rebuked the enemy, commanded him to leave. I've stood in the gap, forgiven his sins. I've remitted his sins, so they're forgiven, according to John 20, 23. I said, bring him to church. Well, she was late to church that day, but when she finally got here, she said, Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you, but when you called, my husband got worse. I said, what do you mean? She said, he started throwing up. I said, that's no big deal. He's just throwing up them demons. I said, he's going to be fine in a little while. She got home that afternoon. Her husband was completely well. And Bruce is completely well. The next day, he come out and sat here with me and talked. And the Lord had a plan. And he was a line mechanic at a dealership, had been for years. He's a great mechanic. And see, I'd love to move down here be with my wife, but I'd have to find a job. And I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a mechanic. I said, hey, how would you like to work for the ministry? Be a full-time mechanic for us. He said, well, I guess so. And so we put him to work. He's now working for the Living Savior Ministries. He's working for Jesus, and he's fixing people's cars. And he has been doing that. And the way we do that, we let you have the parts of what they cost us, and then we charge you $30 an hour labor to work on it. You know a deal like that anywhere else? And if you ain't got the money, we get you have it. And if you ever have the money to pay it off, we just tell them, this is what we spent on your car. We charge you $30 an hour to work on it and the parts. And we don't mark up the parts a penny. We let you have it. And if you can't pay, you just sign a ticket and you take your car and you go on. If you're a little widow or a little guy and you don't have money, you cannot afford to pay, we'll fix your car and let you pay it out. And if you don't ever have no money, then it's just in God's hands. That's the way I look at it. And that's what we're doing. And we fixed a bunch of them already. You know, so, but of course, some guys come out here, you know, and they say, good grief, Thurman, $30 now, that's dirt cheap. You know, you charge me $30 to fix my brakes. You know, he said, here's $100. Now, see, that's the way God returns back to you. See, that's the way he pays the bills. You know, God says, if you give to the poor, he said, you're loaning to me, and I pay back good. And so that's what he does. And so, if we can give away $4,000 or $5,000 worth of CDs and DVDs a week, and he pays those bills. I mean, who am I to think he couldn't pay for fixing a few little car problems, right? And some of these people, you know, I mean, in fact, I was really amazed at what Bruce done, and I know Bruce is learning how to pray, and getting closer to God all the time, because when I went to leave to Wednesday, he said, I got to have this part for this little car. And he said, from the dealer, it's $700. And he said, it looks like it's going to cost us $500. He said, I'm going to keep looking. And he called me a couple of days later and said, I found that part brand new in a box for $105 or $110, whatever it was. And he put it on her car. Instead of having to pay $700 at the dealer charge, that one little thing, we got it for roughly a $100 bill, brand new. And see, God will provide, won't he? He's the King of Kings, and he knows what we're all about. He knows we are not in the garage business to make money. We're in the garage business to meet people's needs, just like we're in the business to meet your need with everything else you've got. You know, so, in fact, I got tickled. One of the men that can, you know, he has money, and he could pay any bill he wanted to. I mean, you know, he's got money, and he called me and he said, Thurman, my truck had a check engine light come on. He says, do you have the equipment to check that? I said, sure, bring it out here. He said the dealer wanted $95 just to hook that thing up to it. I said, no problem, bring it out here. I'll check it for you. Brought it out here, found a little simple problem, reset it, and got him on his way. And he said, how much owe you? I said, nothing. You know, it's nothing. I said, you know, just go. And, of course, the reason that, because this man has donated money to this ministry before and done lots of good things for it. So I ain't going to take his money for doing that. It didn't take us 10 minutes. You know, so we just give that to him. But he that doeth these things never need to be moved. In other words, if we're working for the Lord, doing things for him, he's going to take care of us, isn't he? We're going to get our reward. Okay, now then, that Psalm 15, that's not a very long psalm, just five little verses, but there's quite a question there asked, isn't it? And he gives you the you know, what you got to do. Because I want to walk there with God, don't you? Yes, I sure do. Okay, Dave, the next scripture in Psalms 18:20, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. See, some of these things you're here more than once. God didn't just put them in there one place. We already read that one in another place. And there it is almost word for word, just like it is somewhere else. Why do you think God done that? He wants to make sure you get it. He wants to make sure that you understand it. Okay, Psalms 19, let's go to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Next couple of verses. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, how many people do you know, if we stopped right there for a second, how many people do you know, if I were to take this wonderful book, I said, I got a choice for you to make. I'm going to give you this book, or I'm going to give you this 50-pound bag of pure gold. Which one are you going to take?
The book.
yeah, but you know how many people are going to make that decision, Terry? Not very many.
Unfortunately,
even in the church, if I hand you this book or hand you a 50-pound bag of gold, almost everybody, including Christians, would take the gold instead of the book, because they've never realized what the power of this book is. Now, you can take the gold, and if you ain't got that book, you can die shortly. If you got that book, it'll bring forth life, won't it, Casey?
Yeah.
That book is the most powerful thing. That's just like last week, Cheryl and I went up to Minnesota area, two different little cities. And when we went up there and we checked our bag and we got everything, I asked the girl at the counter, I said, just checking her bag. I said, hey, young lady, I said, are you a Christian? She said, we don't talk about that here. I said, well, we do if you're around me. I said, you know, are you a Christian? No, I don't talk about that. I said, well, you're not then. I said, you need to know Jesus. And so we drug our bag over there and went to check it in. I walked up to that guy and said, how about you, son? You a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, good. He said, you got one bag to check or both of them? I said, no, I'm just checking that big one. And I said, there it is. There's my bag and all this stuff. And I said, you really are a Christian? He said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, you go to church? He said, I sure do. I said, okay, then I'll tell you what I got in this little one. He said, what's that? I said, I got my nuclear bomb in this one. He said, what? I unzipped it and pulled out this book. I said, there's my nuclear bomb. He said, get out of here. Do you know that's what that thing is? That thing is better than any nuclear bomb, isn't it, Casey? That thing can either destroy nations or build them. You know, it'll bring down empires or it'll build them. You know, that is the greatest nuclear bomb in the world. But more to be desired are they than gold. In other words, this, the word of the Lord, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The next couple of verses. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Here's this reward again. By keeping the word of the Lord, he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Verse 13 and 14. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, up there in that verse we said there a while ago, if we listen to the word of God, it is going to be and bring a great reward. Amen. I love God's reward, don't you, Tom? Yeah. Yeah, they're good. I love them. Okay, let's go to Psalms 31, 23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. He preserves the faithful.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something? That sounds a little bit, if you really get this revelation, that sounds a little bit like the word sozo, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He preserves us. Wasn't that one of the meanings of the word sozo?
Yep.
Sure. So, but now you have to know it. It is not automatic. That's the thing I've learned about God's word. He is a faith God. And without knowing his promises, you don't get them. Just like Dave said, he finally got revelation. As many times I've preached that message that he heard me preach out there, the part about deliver became real to him for the first time this last week. I am delivered from the powers of darkness.
Amen.
I don't have to put up with the devil.
Amen.
You don't have time for that beast no more. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Praise God. He plentifully rewards us for doing and being about his business. Okay, Psalm 58:11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judges in the earth. Now, if he is a God in the earth that judges, he's going to give you a reward according to what you've done on this earth, whether it be good or bad. Now, the reward you're going to get for being bad, if you can consider this a reward, but God says it's a reward, he can send you to hell. That's going to be your reward for not serving him. I don't want those kind of rewards. Do you? I do. I want them. I mean, when I think about rewards, there is a reward for the righteous. Now then, I want to be righteous because I know that just like that. In fact, we've just making, I don't know, we hadn't got them available yet, but we will have in another week or so. On TVN the other night, they had it was the Praise the Lord program, but they had two men that had died and went to heaven, and two men had died and went to hell. And, oh, man, I said, wow, I'm going to have to put those together. And then we also had the testimony of this other guy that he also died and went to heaven. And so it's actually three different testimonies of men that have died and went to heaven and two of them that died and went to hell. And it's amazing to see the difference. Like this one pastor, I mean, he was on the way to church on Sunday night. I mean, he's a pastor of a little church. I don't know, Baptist or whatever he was. But he said, I'm on the way to church to teach a Bible study class. And I'm driving down the road in my little Escort and said, all of a sudden I look up and there's an 18-wheeler in my lane and I'm on a bridge. He said, there ain't no place to go. Bam. He said, I see this thing just crunch right over me. He said, I'm sitting there in this car 1 second. Bam. And the next second, I'm standing before the Lord in heaven. He said, man, that scripture, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. It took on a whole new revelation to me.
Amen.
He said, I didn't go through no tunnels. I didn't go through no nothing. I'm just standing in the presence of God.
Wow.
And he said, believe me, folks, whether you believe it or not, there is really streets of gold up there. He said, I got to see them. He said, there's beautiful mansions up there. You ought to hear him give his testimony. But you ought to hear those that give their testimony about going to hell. Oh, One of those men is a pastor today, but he still can't talk about it. He will not tell you. He said, when I was a wicked guy, he said, I was raised up without a dad, and I was wicked as they come. And he said, I did everything wrong. He said, I spent many years in prison. And he said, they done everything to me in prison that a man can imagine. But he said, that was nothing. Nothing compared to what I experienced while I was in hell. He said, I can't even talk about it. You could hear the pain in his heart. He said, I can't even tell you what they did to me down there. But he said, you do not want to go to that place. Well, let me tell you, you can take it from me. You don't want to go from that place either. I ain't been there, but I read about it in a book. I don't want to have to make a trip down there to see how bad it is. Do you?
No,
I ain't going there. I'm going to serve the King. As far as me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Amen. Ain't that right, honey bunny?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to serve the Lord. Tell you for sure. Glory to God. Because we want to get these rewards. And before we get through with this, and I know we ain't going to get through with all this teaching today that I put down, but we'll finish this session next week. But we're going to talk about the rewards and the things that God's prepared for those of us that are going to be willing to pay the price, to walk in righteousness with clean hands, walk holy before Him, and to be an overcomer on this earth. He's got some tremendous rewards for you in heaven. They're going to be great. Okay, the next one, Dave, Psalm 91:8. Look at what he says here. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now then, today you and I get to see what happens to people, and we get to see the devastation and the bad things that happen to people that refuse to serve God. We see it. And a lot of times we don't realize that it's God doing it. But the reward of the wicked, it's awful. It's awful what is going on in this world today. And the people, when it comes down to it, you just think about me, wicked? No, as a Christian, you think, I could never be wicked, but you sure can. All you got to do is step out of a love walk with God, and He sees you as wicked. Now, this story I just told you a while ago about the young lady that her and her family drove from Phoenix down there to be with us in the services Friday night. You know, who would think that this precious, beautiful woman, she's a middle-aged woman. I don't know. I'm sure I don't have any clue, but Sharon's the one that dealt with her over the phone, but you never saw her. No, you never saw her. But she's just a precious daughter, just like you are, Sharon. Just a precious daughter of the King. But when she got into unforgiveness toward her mother, what did she become before God? Wicked. Wicked. She's become wicked. And because she would not repent, her left breast come under the attack of the devil, and she had cancer, breast cancer. And she's in pretty critical condition. And then somebody gives her a CD. Now, how much does God love you that He'll send somebody to send you a CD from somebody you ain't never heard about, and you listen to it, and then you call the minister and you get a precious daughter of the King that's been healed herself, and she knows what it's all about. Whether it's anyone, we got all kinds of girls and guys that answer the phone, but this particular one happened to get Sharon, and she was able to take her through and find out what the problem was and get her to repent of her sin and then prayed a prayer of faith for her. And this girl's totally, totally, completely healed of breast cancer today. But see, when she was over there in the unforgiveness and had that unforgiveness, she's wicked. She's getting her reward, isn't she?
That's right.
And you don't want that, do you? No. Anybody in their right mind. I ain't never seen a woman yet that wants to have breast cancer.
No.
They don't want to have it. It ain't no fun, is it? No, you've been there and done that, hadn't you, girl? You done there, been there, done it? Oh, God is so good, isn't He? He heals you too, didn't He? Oh, yes, He did. See, He's no respecter of persons, is He? When you do what the King says, He don't care if you're a woman. He don't care who you are, does He? Amen. You get your sin repented and say, God, I'm so sorry. Hey, praise the Lord. He just heals you. And, of course, she's been miraculously healed. And for fact, I just given her testimony many times. Many of you heard it. Some of you here today never heard her testimony. But I'd have had, she got into a little problem there and got breast cancer, and she came up and she repented of her sins. I prayed for her and everything. I told her, now, honey, you're healed. It's done. All you got to do is believe God. Well, I do believe God, but I'm going next week and have the surgery. I thought you believed God, but my husband wants me to have the surgery. Well, he's living in unbelief too, but he loves that girl. That's why he wanted her to have the surgery.
Amen.
See, he now knows a whole lot about, more about God than you did before, right, brother? Yes. He's learning just like all the rest of us. But he loved his wife, and he didn't want her to die. And so they go in, and they go in and cut under her right arm, wasn't it? Yeah, on the right side. They cut in there and everything and take the tissue out and check them, and ain't nothing there. Praise God, she is healed. But now then she got a problem. She's got all this cut and scarred, all this stuff, and now her arm don't work no good more. She can't raise it up very high. Oh, you see her raising that arm? Hey, straight up. But she came to us, and I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you, I said, you know, God is so merciful. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just believe, you and your husband will repent of that sin of not believing him. I said, I believe that the King of the universe will touch you right now and heal your arm and take away that scar where that you can raise your arm straight up. And they both repented. I prayed the prayer of faith for them, and immediately she could raise her arm right straight up. And she'd been healed ever since. He's good, isn't he? Yes, he's good. Praise the King. Thank you, Lord, for a God that does miracles, a God that heals his children, that loves them. It's amazing. But only with your eyes should you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, see, even you, Ida, when you got into your sin, you know, you were wicked in God's sight. Who would ever dream a beautiful, precious daughter of the King could be wicked? You don't want to be wicked. You want him to see you. Both of y'all want him to see y'all as a righteous, holy, clean instrument, right? And amen. That's what we're going to do. We don't want to go there with no more cancer, no more breast cancer, no more nothing. We want to walk holy with no sickness and disease. So God has made these set of rules. But with our eyes, we will behold and see the reward of the wicked. Well, when you see what the wicked get, you think about sometimes the wicked is us. Yeah. You know, when we break his rules and don't do what he says, well, then he tells you, love your neighbors yourself, doesn't he?
Matthew 18:32.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And so anyway, it's amazing what happens when we don't do. We get to see the reward of the wicked, but we don't sometimes think about that's us.
That's right.
That's us. So now we don't have to be wicked. You know, we can walk holy before him, and he never sees us as wicked. And you can walk in divine health there. Praise the Lord. Okay, next one, Dave, 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now then, you got to remember now, he says, if you'll obey me, I will bless the fruit of your womb. Now that's when that's what we're talking about right here. Lo, children, I mean, you want beautiful, healthy, intelligent children, right? Yeah. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now then, you know how many people that we deal with that the children are not a reward? I mean, when we deal with people that are drug addicts, they've been living together out of wedlock, and children are born in the situation, and some of them are born in, and then the people don't even want them, and they leave them. I mean, you read about this all the time, don't you? Yeah, awful, you know. But what God's talking about here is a man and woman that love each other, that brought children into the world in a loving relationship. I mean, an intimate, loving relationship. A man seeing his wife as a beautiful woman that he loves. She's not a sex object. She is a beautiful thing that he loves. And she sees her husband as a man that loves her, and she loves having an intimate time with her husband. And when they're loving like that, then God will bring children through those lines, and when the children come, they will be a blessing to you. And they won't be sick all the time, will they?
That's exactly right.
You've experienced it both ways, haven't you, Terry?
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Praise God. And everybody hadn't heard Terry's and Frank's testimony, you need to get a copy of that, man. When they were on the James Robinson show, I watched that night, and they got 5 minutes, maybe 5 minutes on the set, you know, and I thought, man, that testimony, nobody got nothing out of that. And so it wasn't much, but at least they were on James Robinson for 5 minutes but anyway, I told them, I said, hey, one of these days we're going to do this right. And so I took them out to GLC at a later time, flew them out there with me in the airplane. We went out there on GLC. We spent 3 30-minute shows talking about their testimony. I mean, we got it in detail, and it's good, and it'll talk to anybody, won't it? And it's on that DVD back there, and, of course, Phil's going to be putting that on CD also. He already has? Okay. Yeah, the miraculous testimonies, healings are testimonies of miraculous healings. We made it originally on two DVDs, But now Phil's got it on CD, so you can listen to these people talking driving down the road. But, of course, on DVD, you can see them when they're on the set, and that's really wonderful. But children, they are an inheritance from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I mean, it's wonderful to have wonderful children. Praise God. Okay, the next one, Proverbs 11:18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Now then, are you going to be out there sowing righteousness? Are you going to be sowing discord among the brethren? Now that's one of the things God said He hates, is him that sows discord among the brethren. So I think I'd a whole lot rather be sowing righteousness, because if I do, there shall be a sure reward. I mean, you know, some people go through their whole life as Christians not realizing that. I think people just think, well, once I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I just go to church once in a while, I'm going to be okay. You know, I'm going to be okay. But I can't even go there with you anymore after the scriptures I've read and what I've seen about this. I don't want to be just that kind of guy. You know, I mean, that reminds me of people at work. I mean, I remember a long time ago when I was a regional engineer, we used to have these big yearly meetings, and the VP would be there. And since I was on staff, I usually got to go to those meetings too. And I can remember maybe the general managers or the operations manager, usually the general managers or regional engineers and people like that. We got to go to this meeting, and then the core VP would be there, and the CEO from Washington would be there, and in our region, and he'd be looking across and he'd say, "Hey, who in your division is worthy to be upgraded?" And he said, "Well, I've got this woman or this man or whatever. And what about Tom?" "Yeah, Tom, he's been with us a long time, and he's really a good operations manager." And the VP would say, "Well, do you think he might be able to be promotable to a general manager?" "Yeah, he's doing a good job. He'd be a good general manager." Well, first thing you know, when another building opens or somebody moves or retires, all of a sudden, he gets called to be a general manager. And, you know, here you hear people all the time saying, "You don't have to work hard for your company. Ain't nobody watching anyway." Let me tell you, they're watching. They're watching. Yep, the guy that has that kind of attitude, he never gets promoted, does he? Yep, never. Yes, John?
Can they bring up that in the Amplified,
that Proverbs 11:18? Oh, yeah, sure he can. Proverbs 11:18 in the Amplified. Yeah, okay, Dave, bring that up, and he's got everything back there. Dave can do anything. "He who hides hatred is of lying lips, and he who utters slander is a self-confident fool." Wow. Proverbs 11:18. "He who hides hatred is of lying lips, and he who utters slander is a self-confident fool." That's scary, isn't it? I don't want to be that kind. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 13:13. Proverbs 13:13, it says, "Whosoever despises the word..." Whoa, wait a minute. You don't love the word of God? You hate the word of God? Ooh, we definitely love the word of God, don't we? What does the king say? If you despise the word, maybe you will be destroyed? He says, "You shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded."
Amen.
Hey, do we love the commandments of God?
Yes, I do.
"You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." That's the whole thing, right? That is the entire thing. Now, you do that? You know. Now, let me tell you something else. How many, when he says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," in the last couple of years, especially since Cheryl has really been going with me everywhere and praying with me and getting all this discerning of spirits and everything, this wonderful gift that God's given her, we have really picked up on the fact the reason so many women in the church have breast cancer is because they don't love themselves.
That's right.
You know, they would be there and they have breast cancer, and I'm talking to them about sin. All of a sudden, Cheryl said, "Ask her if she loves herself."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Lord just gave her that. I said, "Do you love yourself?" "Well, if I had a tummy tuck and a chin tuck and I could get rid of these wrinkles, maybe I could love myself." Forget it, girl. You know, God didn't tell you he didn't love you like that. He said, love yourself. He said, I command you to love me and your neighbor and yourself. Didn't he say that? And when we see women repent, and some of them it's hard. Some of them, they cry. When I say, tell the Lord, I repent for not loving myself. It's the hardest thing in the world. And they'll start crying. And I said, tell the Lord, Lord, I love myself. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made in the womb. I said, obviously, you got to know God don't make junk.
That's right.
And so if he made you like he made you, he planned for you to be just like you are. So if you're like you are and you got a mole right here in his cheek and you didn't have the faith to get rid of it, then praise him that you're alive. You know, praise him that you're alive. You know, we get so hung up on the things we are not. Oh, well, I could be happy, Thurman, if I was tall like you. And the next guy says, Thurman, I could be happy if I wasn't so tall. I hit my head on everything. So it don't matter who you are. One of them's tall, he ain't happy. The one's too short, and he ain't happy because he wants to be tall. So, hey, praise God that you are what you are, right? I think that your life will go a whole lot better if you'll praise the King that, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful, Lord, that I got a hand. You know, I mean, I think about, I used to never tell the Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that I got a hand and it works, until I prayed for William that time, that little guy from England, that when he walked down the aisle, this left hand was all shriveled up like this. He had it broken 8 places 7 years ago, or after the verse or whatever it was. It was a 7 and 8 in there. I don't remember which way it went, but one or the other. But I knew this arm was tore all to pieces, and for years he had not been able to open his hand at all, and it was all shriveled up like that. And when he come down, I touched him in the name of Jesus, and right before our eyes, William's little hand became perfectly normal right in my side. And I saw that little guy. Of course, Wendy was there, and she loved to tell that story. Yeah, and it's on the testimonies. Yeah, how that little guy, he's jumped. She said, I looked up and I saw this little guy jumping like a bunny rabbit all over the screen, screaming, God, I'm healed. Lord, I'm healed. Well, the next day, I didn't know him. So the next day, I thought that's such a very significant, wonderful miracle. I'd go by and see William. So I got his address, found out where he lived. The next day, I went by there and I knocked on his door. And he said, door's open. Come on in. And I just walked in, and there's William sitting in the middle of the bed, fully dressed, sitting there with his legs crossed, saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. I thought, when's the last time you told God thank you that you could bend your fingers? You know, I mean, when we got something that works, we don't tell him. Oh, we can grumble real hard, you know. Oh, Lord, goodness gracious, I got a broken fingernail. Look at that. My goodness, I got a broke fingernail. Couldn't you have done a better job for my fingernail? He said, you know, I could take him suckers plumb off, you know, if you don't start praising me. Couldn't he? I'm going to praise him for what I got. I'm not going to fuss at what I don't have. I'm going to praise him for what I do have. Because I love him. Now, whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed. So I want you to know I love the word of God. I love getting in this book. I love reading it. I love it. And I want to obey it. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Well, I'm definitely afraid of God because I know Tom, all he had to do, if he got upset at me, all he had to do is say, and it's over, isn't it? And he could put me somewhere else I wouldn't want to be, wouldn't he? And I definitely don't want to go to that place. No, no, no. He can do anything. I think about this guy, Richard Eby. I started to say, I can't think of his name, but I remember. You guys remember Richard, don't you? I remember when Richard had his experience years ago when he got to go to heaven and God showed him heaven. And then when he went to Israel that time, he was down in Lazarus' tomb and he said, the light went out. And he said, all of a sudden it was pitch black down there. And he said, I felt his being beside me. I said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, son, I'm fixing to take you on another trip. He said, Lord, where are you going to take me? He said, I'm taking you to hell. He said, Lord, I'm washed in the blood. You can't take me to hell. He said, son, I'm God, and I can do anything I want to do. You remember hearing him say that? I am God, and I can do anything I want to do. He said, you've been telling people how beautiful heaven is? I let you stay up there for quite a while. He said, and you've been doing a good job, but now I'm going to show you the other side. And he said, God took me down there in that place. And he said, I think I was only there a few minutes. But he said, in a few minutes I was down there, he said, the wicked stuff, the music, the foul words. He said, if I'd have been down there any longer, I'd have lost my mind. He said, I couldn't stand it. So he didn't talk about it much. All he'd have to say, he'd look right on that screen and say, you don't want to go to that place. Let me tell you. You don't want to go to that place. You want to make sure you love and worship the Lord. Okay, Dave, the next scripture. Now, Proverbs 17:13. Whosoever rewardeth evil for good. Now listen to this. Whosoever rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from your house. Now, if you're rewarding evil for good, if you're doing something evil and somebody's doing something good for you, God not only going to curse you, He's going to curse your entire household. That means your children, everything. He makes that statement. So whosoever rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from your house. Who is evil?
The devil.
The devil. So guess who's going to be in your house all the time? The devil. Would you like to come home every day knowing that beast is going to be in your house when you got there? I mean, since he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, I don't think I want him around. But you see people that are constantly having these kind of problems. And you say, why are they having the problems they're having? Well, somewhere along the line back there, somewhere they rewarded good with evil. Wow. That's something, isn't it? You reward evil for good. Evil people, and you're going to do something good for them. It's something, isn't it? Next verse. Proverbs 24:20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. You know what that means? If you're wicked, you're going to die prematurely. You will not live out your full life. You will not. There shall be no reward to the evil man. God's just not going to reward you. I mean, you can go through your life and you will never be able to do good things. I mean, you'll never be able to have your needs met because there's no reward to the man that's walking evil before God. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. I mean, just think, let's say a man is going along in life and he's like so many young men, you know, they want to build their empire. Lots of young men say, by the time I'm 30, I want to be a millionaire. I've heard many of them say that. And so they put God on the back burner. Maybe they know about Him. Maybe they don't. But they're diligently striving toward that $1 million. And they're doing it at the expense of themselves, and they don't know it. And so maybe they get to the million. Maybe they get to multi-millions. And if they do that, chances are they're not tithing. They're not putting God first or nothing. And all of a sudden, you think you got the world by the tail. Maybe you're married. Maybe you got children or whatever. And all of a sudden, your whole world starts falling apart. The devil sends another beautiful woman by to entice you. And you listen to it. And maybe she's on drugs or alcohol or nicotine or whatever. And she gets you started on those things. And first thing you know, you've lost your whole family. You're on drugs. And the millions you had in another year or two or three, guess what? They're all gone. And you're bankrupt. And you ain't got nothing. All because you didn't serve the living God. Now, if you serve the living God, you're not going to be out there trying to desire to be worth multitudes of millions. That's not going to be your goal in life. Your goal in life is to serve God and put Him first. Now, if He has decided you get to be one of the ones that's going to have millions come in or many thousands of dollars, and he knows he can trust you with that money, and you're going to use that money to bless His kingdom or to help people out. He'll give you, there will be no limits to what God will send you. No limits. You can be a multiplied millionaire over and over and over again, but you can't keep it for your own lustful desires. If you do, He'll take it away from you. He didn't put you on this earth to be a multiplied millionaire so you could sit back in your house and do nothing. That's not what He put us here. We're here on this earth to produce fruit for His kingdom. That's what we're here for. And if we're about that and doing what He says, He'll give you anything you need to do that. Anything. He will meet those needs. There shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. That means he's going to kill you. That means he's going to take your life. That's what that means. Next one, Dave. Proverbs 25:21-22. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. Now see, usually when you got an enemy, you don't want to give him nothing to eat or drink or nothing else, right? I mean, what? Help that stupid idiot? That's what we think, isn't it? I mean, that guy's getting what he deserved. I'm glad he's being punished. Ooh, you don't make those kind of statements? If you do, God says, if you gloat over another person's disaster, you will suffer punishment. That's serious stuff, isn't it? You know? I mean, Dave, when we was reading that in the Proverbs here a while back, we'd been doing a study on Proverbs, part of it. And when we went to that night, Dave said, oh, my lands. He said, when I used to work for Nortel, when we beat out another company, but on the contrary, we gloated over winning over them. And he said, I didn't know that was sin. But it is. And it's a lot of things that's in this book is sin we don't know is sin. Where do you learn what sin is, Casey?
The book.
The book. That's exactly the book. And when you learn what the book says, you get over it. That's where faith comes from too, isn't it, son? Yes, it is. That's where you get everything from the book. And now you and me know why that book's more precious than gold and silver.
Absolutely.
It can do things gold can't do, can't it? Right. Absolutely can, yeah. Praise the King. Okay, let's go to the next one. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. When I read this, I thought, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for sending me a mate. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, I used to think, you know, it's amazing that before God brought me Cheryl, I thought, now, Lord, I made this statement in church before we got married, before I even knew God was going to bring me a mate. I said, I ain't got time for a woman because a woman requires maintenance. You know, and that's a true statement. Is that right, Denise? A woman requires maintenance, doesn't she? She wants to be loved and told she's beautiful and taken out to dinner. Is that true? Sure. That's the way girls are. And I know girls require maintenance. But I didn't have any idea that if there was two of us, all the things I was doing, especially the records keeping, which was getting to be a nightmare for me since I'm not really a good paper trail pusher. Cheryl was so good at all that stuff, and she's so good at running things. I like that. Hey, she does all that. Now I got time to study, and we got more time to go do things, and we got plenty of time to go out and eat once in a while and enjoy life. So it's wonderful. So when God, he says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And I'll tell you, two can definitely get more than twice as much done than one. You know that? You think, okay, of course that's a proverb too, but you think, well, okay, here I'm one by myself. I can do this much work. Okay, bring me another man that is good at what I'm doing, and he and I will do four times what I could have done by myself.
Right.
You know, because there's things we can do together. I guarantee. So it really works good. So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So as we work diligently, righteously for the King, he's going to have a good reward for the labor we have on earth. Yeah. Okay. So we are down to 4:00, and it's Ecclesiastes 4:9. Dave, we're going to stop right there because I am not quite halfway through my outline today. But so I know we're going to have to stop. We're going to take communion. This on the first Sunday of every month, we do communion. Now, before we do this, I want you to stop a minute. And those that are going to serve in the communion, if you would start getting ready to serve this, if you would go to your positions and start getting it all ready. But the rest of you, or even the ones that are moving out to help, I want everybody to think, Lord, have I got any sin in my life? Is there anything I've done wrong? You know, I want to repent. I want, Lord, to be righteous and holy and clean. I want clean hands. And, Lord, I want to be righteous in your sight. Because, Lord, I do want a good reward. I mean, we should all, our desire as Christians should be that we have a good reward. Nobody in their right mind would not want to get a good reward. And, of course, if you'll tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to help me. I do not want to. I've saw some things maybe in the Scriptures today that maybe I've been doing. Lord, I don't want to do those things. I repent for those things. And I do want to walk holy and clean and upright and righteously before you. And that when you do that and ask him to help you, he will. And he will move on your heart. And if you don't know of any sin, if you ask him if you have some, you know, you could just ask him to reveal to you maybe some sin that you might have in your life. And he will do that. And then when you ask him to forgive him, to forgive you, he will forgive you. Now then, so if you do that, we're going to pass these up here on the front row. Me and Cheryl both need one. It's all this. So be sure and take the bread and the juice.
Lord be with you.
Amen. Praise the King. We got these wonderful ladies that fix all this, put it all together for us every Sunday. And oh, by the way, I don't think I did. I got so tied up in what we were doing. But right now, I've just got to say, when I see Kim and Scott right here at the front, they came out here Saturday and worked diligently all day long on the bathrooms. And all that painting and so forth and stuff that's in there and the mirror hanging and everything, they did all of that. They worked all day long Saturday on those six bathrooms. And when I walked out here this morning and went in, I saw all six of them were finished. I thought, praise God for Kim and Scott. But I'm telling you, there's been many people that has helped. You know, I don't want to miss anybody, but many people. I know last week, Dave and Jerry, a gentleman come from up, where, honey?
Jerry Sheffield from Washington.
Missouri or somewhere.
Okay.
Jerry Sheffield came, and he came down here just to work in the church for a couple of days. Flew down here and wanted to help 2 days, and he was out here Monday and Tuesday. He's the one hung all the light fixtures in all the bathrooms. He did all that. Now, Kim and Scott bought the light fixtures and gave them to the church, but Jerry hung them last week. And, of course, Dave and him was out there painting and everything. But we've had all kinds of people. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about those that have been here just recently. There's been many men help. And, of course, as Kathy told me one day, she said, Pastor, I mean, when we were putting up the building, she came out here and she said, Pastor, I've seen men come out here every day, but said, today you don't have anybody. Who's going to help you? I said, well, Kathy, right now I don't need any help. I said, what I'm doing for the first few hours this morning, I only need myself. And then when I get that done, then I'll need these other men. And I said, you just watch, God will bring them.
Right.
You know. So she said, what time are you going to need them? I said, probably about 10 or 10:30 is when I need somebody to help. So Kathy walked outside, I think about 5 or 10 minutes till 10. And she said, well, it's about time. I said, yes, it is. And she said, there's a car coming down the road. And one of the men said, Thurman, I thought I'd come help you today. And I said, well, praise God. Come on in here. And then all of a sudden she said, Thurman, there's another car. And it was another guy. She said, you needed two. She said, Thurman, it's so awesome to see God work. He is awesome, isn't he?
Yeah.
When we serve the King, I mean, Pharisee's awesome, isn't he? He's an awesome God. I mean, this is all about him, isn't it? This is all about him. This is all about him. You know, this is his body. This is what he was beaten and bruised and pierced and everything on the cross for you. Now, I don't care if you believe this or not, there's healing in this body. This body will heal your body if you'll believe it and receive it. We know that, don't we, Ida? Yes, we do. Praise God. There's a lot of us here that know it. Father, we thank you for this bread, which is a symbol of the broken body of our Savior Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to think that he would come to this earth and go through what he went through for us. But he did that because he loved us. There's no love greater than that. And we're thankful, Lord, for that love. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless this bread as we take it in our bodies and let it be a symbol of the body of Jesus. And may it heal ours and keep ours healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we ate the bread. The blood. Nothing in the universe greater than the blood. Only the blood of Jesus can save you from your sins. There's no other. It never ceases to amaze me. People I run into in church that believe that there's other gods, that you can be saved by being a Muslim or a Hindu or a Confucius or Buddha. But let me tell you, there's no other blood, no other name under heaven whereby you can be saved. You know, let it be known that I am a person that does not walk down the middle of the road. I mean, the sides of the road. I walk in the middle of the road. Right straight down the center of that little bitty tiny narrow path. And there's only one way to heaven. There ain't two. There ain't three. There's one. And it's by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He poured out this blood to wash away your sins. And I don't care who you are, he will save you if you come to him by faith. Jew or Gentile, right, Joseph?
Right on.
Makes no difference. So, Father, we thank you for this blood. It's juice, which is a symbol of the blood of our Savior. We praise you and thank you for the privilege to drink it. In Jesus' name, amen.